I'm Rosemary Martorana, Director of Intelligence here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and you're listening to Intelligence Unclassified. This podcast is exactly what the title states, unclassified information about current trends in homeland security for the state of New Jersey, as well as educational information and resources for your awareness. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. My name's Krista, and I'm a cyber threat intelligence analyst for the New Jersey Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Cell, also known as the NJKIC. We're the state's one-stop shop for cybersecurity threat information and intelligence sharing. I'm here to talk to you today about the topic of ransomware. It's very likely you've heard this term at some point over the past year. Maybe you've already been a victim of it or know someone who has. Well, I'm going to explain what ransomware is, how it works, and how you can protect yourself from it. Ransomware is a type of malicious software, or malware, that attempts to extort money from victims by restricting access to a computer system, a mobile device, or files. The most prevalent form of this profit-motivated malware is crypto ransomware, which locks up files using an encryption algorithm. These encrypted files can then only be decrypted or decoded using a key held by a malicious actor. The malicious actor usually asks for some form of payment in exchange for this key. Now, in 2016, we've seen a dramatic increase in ransomware infections as well as a sharp increase in the number of ransomware variants seen out in the wild. This threat has quickly emerged as one of the most dangerous, costing individuals and organizations hundreds of millions of dollars this year alone. According to security solutions company Symantec, the average ransom demand this year is more than double that of 2015, at approximately $679 per infection. In their 2016 Internet Security Threat Report, they noted that services most impacted by this threat include the services sector, the manufacturing sector, finance, insurance, and real estate, as well as public administration. The United States as a whole was the country most affected by ransomware, representing 28% of global infections. The number of ransomware infections really began to spike in March of this year, when one particular variant, Lockheed, surfaced. Lockheed targets systems running a Microsoft Windows operating system, and it is distributed via phishing emails that contain Word documents embedded with malicious macros. A macro is basically a small program within Microsoft Office documents and spreadsheets that help provide shortcuts that allow users to automate common, repetitive tasks. However, hackers have come up with a way to manipulate these macros into performing malicious functions, like those seen associated with Lockheed. For instance, if a victim opens a file or attachment containing a malicious macro, Lockheed downloads itself to the system and begins encrypting various files, such as pictures, videos, and Microsoft Office files, appending Lockheed to the name of the file when finished. It then displays a ransom note to its victims, demanding a ransom payment to unlock the encrypted files and providing instructions on how to do so. When we first began seeing reports of Lockheed infections, the function of the variant was pretty straightforward. However, as antivirus software began detecting and blocking Lockheed infections, the authors of the malware had to change tactics to avoid detection before the infection and encryption process was complete. Over the past year, we've seen Lockheed change in multiple ways. It began deleting shadow volume copies to prevent file restoration by the victim. It began including anti-analysis and sandbox evasion techniques to make it more difficult for security researchers to study samples. It has changed attack vectors, delivery methods, and even changed its encrypted file naming conventions. It's obvious that Lockheed is a big money maker for its developers because they are constantly trying to stay ahead of efforts made by members of the cybersecurity community to render it ineffective. Lockheed certainly isn't the only variant we've studied. We have a ransomware threat profile available to the public on the NJKIC website that currently lists 110 different variants, all with a description of how each of them works, who and what each variant targets, and even how much ransom, on average, each demands. You can check that out at www.cyber.nj.gov. Ransomware is effective because it relies on social engineering as its primary attack vector. Infections can occur when a victim opens a malicious email attachment, clicks on a malicious link in an email, text message, or on a social media website, or if a victim happens to visit a website that's been compromised with malicious code. That's what's known as a drive-by download. Once a system is infected, generally speaking, the ransomware contacts a command and control, or C2 server, to generate an encryption key which it then uses to encrypt files on a victim's machine or device. It runs quietly in the background, performing in-depth searches of all folders, including removable storage drives and network shares, and tries to encrypt as many files as it can. It will then display a ransom note and provide instructions to the victim on how to pay the ransom. If the victim decides to pay, the malware is supposed to contact the C2 server for the decryption key, so that it can begin decrypting the files. Although this works in some cases, there are other times that the decryption process never occurs because the C2 server has been taken offline by an ISP or law enforcement, or the hacker decides to take the money without making good on his end of the deal. I could probably talk for hours on the differences I've seen in different ransomware variants, but I want to move on now to prevention strategies for individuals and organizations. Again, you can find all of this information and more at www.cyber.nj.gov. Now, there are some very basic and common sense ways to protect yourself and your data from a ransomware infection. First of all, make sure you are running antivirus software on all of your systems and devices, and that it has the most up-to-date virus definitions, so that it can detect malicious software before it has the chance to install. Enable automatic patching for your operating system, software, plugins, and web browsers. Use ad-blocking extensions on web browsers to prevent drive-by downloads from websites hosting ads embedded with malicious code. Make sure that the account you use to browse the internet does not have administrator rights. Many variants use these admin rights to install themselves and additional modules of malware on your system. Disable macros from automatically running on Microsoft Office files. Don't open emails from unknown senders, and don't open attachments or click on links that you weren't expecting. Consider installing a free or commercially available anti-ransomware tool available from a number of leading computer security software vendors. There are a lot more ways to protect yourself, but even the most careful and security-conscious person can become a victim of ransomware. It even almost happened to me, and I'm super careful. That's why the most important thing you can do is back up your files. Back them up daily if you can. Make sure these backups are kept off the network and in a secure location. Also, be sure to test your backups. We've received numerous reports where an organization was hit with ransomware, and even though they had backups, they ended up having to pay the ransom because their backups were corrupted and they were unable to restore their data. If a system in your home or organization does become infected, make sure to disconnect it from the network immediately to prevent it from spreading and impacting other systems and network shares. In some cases, a free decryption tool may be available, as a number of security researchers in the global community have made it their mission to crack as many ransomware variants as they can. We keep an updated list of available and free decryption tools on our website. Lastly, be sure to report ransomware infections to your local police department, the FBI, and even us here at the NJ Kick. Keep in mind that, if you've been impacted by ransomware, you've been the victim of a crime. Treat it that way and report it. I hope you found this podcast interesting and informative. If you'd like to learn more about this or other cybersecurity trends and topics, please visit our website at www.cyber.nj.gov. Also, consider becoming a member by signing up for our weekly email bulletin, where you'll receive the latest in cybersecurity threat intelligence, including topical news and the latest social engineering scams impacting New Jersey, as well as practical solutions you can implement at home and in your organization. Membership is free. Thanks for listening, and be sure to keep yourself and your systems safe.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.